June 5, 2023, it's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Monday. We started off with John Coltrane, My Favorite Things, an excerpt from Birdland, March 2, 1963. Then we had Niacinamide, if I said it that right. The World of Invariability, because of those Estonian software engineers, their scrap invention I got with me. Tom Mikowski?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, got it right. What about the band name? Did I get the Niacinamide?
I call it niacinamide, but you
okay,
can be
okay,
right, so.
Okay. Yeah, like niacin, like vitamin B, right? Okay.
Yeah, that's actually where I got the name.
Okay. Yeah, you know, in Europe, the I's are always, except England, of course, the I's are always this long E sound. So, okay.
Right.
You have to unlearn what you learn. So. Anyway, we got to give big credit right away to Brother Grant and Eugene Crew and stuff for making the connect. I want to learn about your journey through music. Very interesting stuff you gave me. So, want to hear about it. So, please bring your earliest musical recollection if you can, Tom.
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. I was listening to I Saw Her Standing There on 45, which was
Beatles.
I don't know if you remember those plastic brown Fisher Price record players.
I remember they opened up like a little suitcase.
Yeah, I still got it.
Okay, yeah, all right. So that was your earliest thing, and maybe that leads up to this question: the first record you bought with your own money, maybe a 45.
Actually, it was a cassette, and it was the Cocktail soundtrack.
Whoa!
Which I was mildly obsessed with that Kokomo song by the Beach Boys.
Right. I think they call that yacht rock or something.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, fuck genres anyway. Yacht rock. What the fuck's that? Okay. Kayak rock. Okay. Well, the pad you grew up in, Tom, was there musical instruments?
No real instruments, but like my parents always definitely, as music was around, like cassette recorders were always around. So we were kind of always, my brothers and I were kind of always just messing around with stuff.
Oh, you mean like making recordings?
Yeah, like just like doing sort of bits and singing stuff and like trying to make music from whatever. But
you mean a cappella?
Yeah, kind of. Just like singing over like bad Bon Jovi songs and then just like, you know, hitting on drums of like the table and trying to like kind of make music that way and then just playing it back constantly.
Whoa. Okay. What about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, my brother and I were in chorus until about, I want to say, eighth grade when we got guitars. But we played, I have a twin brother. We my parents both got us trombones, and that was pretty short-lived.
Bass clef.
Yeah, bass clef. That's how I learned.
And microtones. In some ways, it's a pretty trippy instrument. Big-ass mouthpiece, too. I heard for the marching band, it was kind of easier than a little fucking French horn shit and trumpet.
Yeah. Our teacher was kind of terrible. He was very sort of old school, and then we just kind of moved away into the chorus and singing songs again.
You know, I'm 22 years now doing the show, and the guests have kind of taught me that it really ain't the music itself. It's the cat trying to bring it to you. They ain't got the fucking skills.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's just like they don't want to hear, like, at this point it was like they didn't want to hear what any kind of new music. I don't even know what it was back then, but it was all just like sit here and play this thing, and that's no, you know, it's a bunch of kids. They don't want to do that.
Right. Now, you said there was you and your twin brother had a guitar moment. How did that happen?
We definitely were getting sort of like punk rock and stuff like that. And then when I was like, I think it was 12, my parents took us to this, you know, nothing records or music store. We both got Lotus guitars and basses, which weighed about 200 pounds.
What about amps?
Amps, actually, my uncle, he had played in bands way back in the day. So I was lucky. I had this sort of tube Ampeg amp from the 70s, and the thing was amazing.
But it probably was a boat anchor, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I remember my dad, like, bolted wheels onto the bottom of it so I could move it around.
So Prac was in your room. Well, I got to ask you, first gig you saw?
First gig was, my dad took us to see ZZ Top on the Recycler tour.
When they were coming back.
Yeah, it's like George Thorogood opened, and I was just, that sort of was like, right after that, we went and got guitars. I was kind of hooked.
So George Thorogood, I think the other two guys were called the Destroyers, right?
Yeah.
And basically he's doing you know, old blues guy stuff, kind of rock and rolled up.
Right, and it was cool kind of being that young because, you know, it's you know, obviously he's an amazing guitar player, but for us it was just you could kind of play the three notes around it.
Right.
And so we felt kind of cool about that.
It was not about all the changes, more about the feel. I think that's what I love about Stooges.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I think that kind of got me, because there's like, you know, someone's got to play bass, someone's got to play guitar, and I kind of leaned towards bass because I think it was like, it's probably easier, but it was also like, you heard those notes, so it drifted me towards that.
But did you ever get on guitar later? Because they are kind of, you know, at first I thought, oh yeah, four string guitar should be easier. But as I got less younger, I've discovered maybe four string drum set.
Yeah, I mean, because my brother had a guitar, and so I kind of noodle around with that or whatever you want to call it, but I always just kind of drifted back to the bass. But, you know, it's like you see people playing, like, acoustic guitars, and you're just like, I should have learned to do that.
Yeah, that's pretty bitchin'. Yeah, pretty portable, no amp, right? And they're light. And now Klein, he's got a twin brother named Alex Klein. He's a drummer man, but he's a couple minutes ahead. Are you a couple minutes ahead or behind?
Yeah, I'm 5 minutes ahead. That's funny you mention that because it's like we still joke to this day, why didn't one of us learn to play drums?
Now, they talk exactly the same. And Petra's, Petra's a triplet, right? But only two can be identical. Tanya's a fraternal. So, Rachel, they sing the same. Are your voices similar?
Yeah, so we're 44 now, and it's still, if I call my dad, and, you know, now we can see it on the phone, but, like, back when, you know, whatever, 10, 12 years ago, you call him on the landline, he's still, is this Tom or Tim?
Okay, same thing with fucking Nels and his brother, the same exact voice, but different personas, but that way it's really kind of, yeah, trippy. There was that asshole Nazi scientist that liked to experiment on twins. I'm so glad.
Yeah, that was always like, anytime we learned about that, we're just like, hey, I don't want to hear about this.
Yeah, right. Ooh. So, what about after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band? You probably did one with your brother, right?
Yeah, so in we called the summer of 10th grade because we were kind of like that. That's kind of when we realized, like, we don't really care what, you know, we were kind of picked on and stuff, you know, punk rock, and you're like, we don't care. So we started this band. We called it Seppuku Death. Just kind of like, you know, three chord punk and just trying to learn kind of how to play the instruments.
And the material, like me and D Boone, are you copying off records?
Yeah, for sure. You know, just kind of, trying to. But then, you know, we would kind of just try to write our own songs around the three chords we could play. And then,
you know, I hear this three chord thing, but think about TVI and Funhouse, Stooges, one chord.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Harry Nilsson, Lime in the Coconut, one chord.
Oh, yeah. Once we learned, like, the hardcore chug with off the open notes, that was everything.
Talk about the chug. E7, right? Creedence.
Right.
Keep on Chuglin'. Man, that's one fucking Tom, older brother Tom there was on that one E7. Chug, 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 keep on Chuglin'. Get it? Okay. No, but it's trippy about music, you know. Is it really about all the parts or is it about one good one?
Yeah, I think once you kind of just you hit something that sounds good when you're like, you know, when you don't know anything and you're just like, oh my god, this is the best thing in the world.
Now, did this band ever do a gig or was it just a prac band?
Well, so we kind of, I forget what the name, what we've said, we kept, you know, we did that thing where you just change names all the time, but, yeah. You know, I remember we played a show and it was pretty terrible, and then,
Really? What happened? You could only have your first gig once.
Oh, yeah, I mean, anything that could go wrong went wrong. The drummer brought a drum machine instead of his drum set, and then the singer,
Just out of the blue, you guys have been doing prac, right? And then he shows up with a drum machine.
Yeah, I think he just couldn't. It was his friend's drum set, so he's like, oh, yeah. And then he just didn't have it. He didn't bring it, so he brought this drum machine, which in hindsight was probably pretty cool thinking about it, but definitely wasn't at the moment.
No, but pretty steady.
Yeah.
But fuck, if you've never proc'd with it, that's a new thing right in front of people for your first gig. Wow.
Yeah, and then it got worse. The singer got stage fright, so he kind of just stood there.
Uh-oh.
And then, but there's a kind of funny story about this because so basically my older brother came and sung a song, and then this kid named Rick, who was later in these two bands, Subterfuge and Extinction AD, he sung the Minor Threat covers we were playing.
Yeah.
And then later when I started a different band, he booked our first show.
Wow. See, be nice to people because you never know when you're going to be working with them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Never burn bridges, people. Never burn bridges. But he got deer in the headlights.
Right. Okay. It was, yeah. So I was like, this is awesome. And my brother was like, this is terrible. So I think that was his first and only show.
It was kind of qualified success. Okay.
Right.
Look, you gave me this, hence a great Sugui for the tune I want to play that you gave me. Fool's Triumph.
Please continue the album. You know the album. I don't want So let's get ready for the runway. This is the real daddy.
Sun, receive the praise, you shake the bone. Thank you. Thank you.
with Naya, like what I do, yeah. It's like I do it all on the computer with the record, and then I'll be like, oh, that was kind of cool, and then I'm like, oh, fuck.
You know, that happens. You know the Steely Dan song, Reeling in the Years, right? Jimmy Page,
yeah.
That's Jimmy Page's favorite solo. Well, the guy, it's one take, right? Elliot Russell, Randall. And it was through an SVT bass amp, too, because there was no other amp in the studio. But anyway, was that okay? And the engineer forgot to hit record, so he had to do it twice.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it happens. People, deja vu all over again. That chunk of music started off with Niacinamide with Fool's Triumph, Dream TX, In Too Deep, Model Home, Oceans. You know, phonetic pun there. So Surreal. Thomas Brennan, again, both D.C. area. SLWCC Watt, Be the Bones. Got a new album coming, Kill Rockstar. Muskeg Mudsuck out of Alaska. Mean Hooker. Western Gats out of Toronto, Canada. Master Del Sol. Catnip, Time on Me. The Scratch Clark remix. And finally, Niacinamide with Ambiguity or Something Else. Okay, so the band only lasts till 10th grade.
It's 10th through 12th grade.
10th through 12th, I'm sorry. Okay, it only lasts to 12th grade. And so that's like high school's over. So what's next for you?
So then sort of people went away, and I went to school kind of where I lived on Long Island. So a bunch of – basically the kids who stayed, we started a band called Center Zero, which was like a Long Island hardcore band, and did that for
– Now, when you say Long Island – I'm thinking of probably like Lightning Bolt and Six Finger Satellite and.
So there was like the New York hardcore scene, like Agnostic Front and all that.
Yes.
And then Long Island was kind of its own separate thing. And
Island. I was thinking Rhode Island.
No, not different island.
Remember that mayor, Buddy? Yeah. Right, Buddy. Oh man, yeah. Okay, I got it wrong. Long Island, of course. Lou Reed's from there. I read the. Victor Bacher's bio on him in Littleton or something was one of the first track houses in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Love so Long band. Island is part of New York, but in a way, it's very much its own world.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, if you're from New York, you say New York. If you're from Long Island, you say kind of Long Island, unless you're like.
And what's trippy is Brooklyn, Queens, they're just the west part, same island.
Oh, my God. So I lived in California for, like, 15 years, and I would just argue that with everybody. Like, Brooklyn's on Long Island.
I took the Long Island Railroad, Penn Station, but it's under Madison Square Garden now, right?
Because
Dix Hills, it's the Pine Lawn stop. He's buried in the boneyard right there. I had to go twice because I thought he was just going to fucking find it by walking around. There's, like, thousands of graves. It's a veterans kind of thing. So I had to go and ask the gardener. It's in the Garden of Sanctuary, people, if you're going there just to find it. It says John W. Coltrane, that's all. And it was one of those twofers, I guess, for Alice, too. So, so the Long Island scene. And right, like here in SoCal, you could be butt up against another town, but you don't know it because it ain't your town.
Right.
So a whole different scene, yeah, okay. Okay, so you start this band, which we ain't going to hurt here till the third hour, people, because Watt's an asshole and didn't have it together that way. But Center Zero, and who's in Center Zero?
So it's just a couple buddies, right? This guy named Dan Turr, who now we're all still kind of friends. He runs a screen printing business called Ink Up Merch, and then our singer is a guy named John Lewis, who, funny enough, he used to tattoo out of San Pedro.
Oh!
And now he's tattooing in Redondo at a place called Sangha, I think.
Okay.
And then my buddy Mike, who kind of moved out to California with us, and this kid Chris, who's still on Long Island. So, yeah, it was just kind of this crew that...
What was it, like a five-piece?
Yeah, five-piece, two guitars.
And you guys, it sounds like you're doing your own material, right?
Yeah, it was all original. We kind of we were just going to a lot of shows and like the five of us and we were just like kind of like, hey, we could do this. Why don't we do this? And then just kind of took it really seriously, and then it just sort of imploded.
And how are you involved as far as composing?
So it's interesting because like everyone hates when the bass player brings songs to the table, but
why do you mean the Spinal Tap movie with the Jazz Odyssey?
Yeah, exactly.
Derek Small, right? He's like fire. He's like ice. I'm like lukewarm water.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll put it this way. We're kind of the grout. But you know what? We can bring some good songs. In fact, Bass Player Magazine asked me future, and I said, yeah, 20 more strings. No, composition tool. I really believe the future of the bass, because we don't have all that melodic content, so let's room for your collaborators. Anyway, so you would bring in songs, huh?
We were kind of like more of a melodic hardcore band, I guess it was later called, but we kind of just all made sort of an agreement, like even the drummer, like everyone has to come to practice with like 3 or 4 parts every week, and then we just kind of build the songs off of those. So for whatever reason, and my buddy John had made a joke that it was like the 5 people who should never be in a band together, it just kind of worked. Like it was like one of the most fun times of my life.
And can you remember the first Center Zero gig?
That's funny because I got the poster on my wall. We played at a place called Rocky Point Park, and again that kid who sung the Minor Threat songs booked us, and it was it was just us and every other band didn't show up except his band.
Yeah, was there deer in the headlight moments?
No, like I said, we took it so seriously. So we waited a good 6-7 months before we ever played out. And so at that point, we were just kind of, you know, cocky young people, just like, all right, we're ready. We're going to take over everything.
And you gave me some recordings. So you guys, now who did you go to studio or were you using those cassette machines?
No, there was a place called Dare Studios, which is sort of very bare bones, sort of they have amps and they can record for you. And, you know, we had no money. So that's kind of what we just did. We'd go rehearse. And at the end of the rehearsal, we'd record for like 30 minutes. And that's where all that stuff came from.
Oh, okay. And how long does this band last?
I want to say like 3 years, and then it just kind of I couldn't even tell you what happened. It was just one day we're done, and then everyone kind of moved away.
and here's the kind of charming part. Sometimes, like, how do people find out it's done?
Yeah, it's interesting now thinking about that because, like, I mean, as you know, like, even 15, 20 years ago, there was, you know, it was like MySpace wasn't even around. So, like, no one knew. So I think people were just like, what's going on? And we just kind of left it.
No, like, you read about, you know, Sid Barrett was leaving Pink Floyd, you know, like they just stopped picking him up for practice and then they stopped picking him up for gigs. Like the organ player said, hey, I'm going to go get some cigarettes. He comes back like 4 hours later, right? They go and do a fucking gig.
Yeah, and like we were nothing as far as like fame or anything, but there are sort of moments because it was such sort of a tight-knit scene, still is, and the scene is so thriving. But I remember being in L.A. at FYF Fest like 20 years later, and the person who was sort of checking the tickets in, she was like, were you in a Long Island hardcore band?
Wow.
Shows
to go, you people. Shows to go, you. Always, I remember, you know, Taff Falco had me wearing these funky, pointy shoes and shit, and like we're driving there, killing my feet. So I take them off, you know, and he goes, you know, somebody might pull us over. I'm like, oh, man. Okay, Taff, you're the boss. So, look, does music quit for you when that band ends? What's the next chapter?
Sort of. So then I moved to L.A. with my brother and to go meet – and the guitar player for Center lived out there at that time. And then my brother and that guy moved back to New York, and I stayed out there. And then the singer and the guitar player from Center moved to L.A., and then we just never did anything. But I kind of always just you know, kept up with it, and that's sort of how – I was doing, like, sort of side – like, I don't even want to say side bands, but just like I'd hang out with friends and we'd play and we'd be some bands. Like I was in a band called Dowdy for a minute and that was just kind of messing around. And
no,
then
you gave me some Dowdy. We're going to have that in the third hour. No.
Oh, actually, yes. I threw it on. Yeah. I kind of remixed
actually,
that into my
song. Actually, Tom, that's kind of a collab, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So that guy's Pete and it's still my friend.
Fill us in later because the people will not be able to make the connect. We got 2 hours in between. But we are at the end of the first hour, June 5, 2023, Dish Wap Peter Show. Special guest Tom Mikowski. Hold tight for hour two. June 5, 2023, it's the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show. Thank you.
Texas.
Oh,
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour. Niacinamide with Flower of the Mountain. And after that, we had Tenko and Dora Video, duet in Tokyo, March 15, not too long, a couple months ago, 2023. Excerpt from live stream of 3 days, Domune Noise University. Oh, yeah, this is during Victoria Shen's Japanese tour. Makoto Kawabata was on this bill also. Above the Trees, after that, we just had Marco on day before, Friday. The Farm of Life. That's great. When English ain't your first language, man, you can get creative. The Farm of Life. Like above the tree. I asked him what that meant. He said, you know, when you're in the tree, you can see everything. But I said, well, actually, you're talking about you're above the tree. You ain't in the tree. But that's all right. That's all right. He's beautiful. Electro Carpa, another Italian music. But this is a band. Uomo dalla frusta d'oro. Some man and gold. Trupa Trupa from Poland with Lit. And finally, Niacinamide with Working Within Decrepit Calm. So it sounds like there was kind of a little evolution. You let go of the bass and you get into some electronics?
Yeah, so like I start with the Dowdy band. I was just experimenting more with like pedals, and I was traveling a lot for work and a lot overseas, so I just started buying like these weird fuzz pedals when I could find them. And then it just started getting, you know, I was on the road and I just was like, I want to do something. So I just started getting more noisy and more noisy. And then I started experimenting with like Moogs and synths and stuff like that and trying to figure out if I could do anything with that.
Not really the keyboard part so much. And you didn't use, obviously, but like with pedals and stuff, you're treating a sound. So was the bass ever involved, like the foundation, and then going through all these effects?
Yeah, so Niacinamide started with that. It was just like how blown out can I make a fuzz pedal?
Right.
And then sort of tweaking it, you know, just tweaking the amps a bit and seeing what I could do in my apartment, and then it just kind of slowly the bass took sort of a backseat for better or for worse. And yeah, I don't know. I just kind of kept evolving into something, whatever I was kind of feeling at the moment. And I still kind of try to bring the bass back a bit if I can, even if it's just sort of like dissonant tones from it. But Nye is definitely more, I think, more electronic, if that's what you want to call it.
And what about the foundation sounds? When you let go of the bass, what was starting to make them? Like a synth or something?
Yeah, so It's interesting because like now my wife laughs. We have this joke where I just kind of like, she's like, oh, did you record that? Where I was just kind of walking around and hearing things and like not field recordings, but I guess kind of sort of field recordings.
Yeah, whatever's ambient, whatever's happening in the situation you're in.
Right. And then I just like sort of put that into the computer and sort of chop it up and see what I could do with it and slowing things down, speeding it up and adding tones and.
No, interesting. Maybe a parallel. Tell me if I'm wrong. But, like, taking a photograph of where you're at and then fucking bringing that into, whatever, Photoshop and applying the filters.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's definitely like that. And it's, you know, it's like, oh, here we were in Switzerland for a honeymoon, and then here's the waterfall we took that I made something that sounds probably horrible with, but, you know, it's enjoyable, and we both kind of get a kick out of it now.
It's not like, hey, I had a nightmare last night. I woke up in a machine shop. No. I remember the first time I saw Einstein and Neubau, and they were out in the desert here in the Mojave. And, we say Pedro, but we don't say Mojave people. We don't say Jalapenos or fucking tortillas either. We're not that stupid. We do say Cabrillo, though, for the beach. But those only two words we fuck up. But I thought, man, because, you know, I talk to young people. They don't even know what machine shop is. They got rid of that shit. But we used to have these, like, shop classes, right? And some of I don't know what experimental stuff. They mind me. I get flashbacks of my youth in Mr. Kogan, and he used to call everybody Joe Hamburger in the machine shop with the grinders and all that shit. So that's a when do the titles appear?
So it's sort of mixed. Like when I first started out with like, you know, and Graham from Lesson One and this guy Paul who does this label, this noise label called Al Ripper, I was just kind of trying to find anyone that knew anything about this, 'cause I didn't know anything about like the noise scene or anything. And so if they were doing like comps, and if the comp had like a theme, I'd start with a title and try to build something around it.
Okay, yeah, that's the way I use titles. But it seems like a lot of cats, they put them on after.
Yeah, so if I'm just sort of messing around and like it's funny that you mentioned the shot, because like if we're walking in like New York City, my wife Lindsay will be like, oh, did you record that building, you know, getting work done? And then I'll do something with that, and then I'll just throw a title on it based on like what I'm reading at the moment or something that I've kind of heard and just wrote down.
You know, I heard Harry Smith, you know, that guy did all that folk.
Yeah.
But he also used to just hang a microphone out a window in New York City and record that shit.
It's funny because like the wind specifically, especially on like an iPhone, it's like it sounds terrible, but it sounds great. You know, because he picks up everything.
Right, and it's got a fucking natural rhythm. That's for damn sure. Look, you gave me this Through Eternal Blue. Let's listen.
Thank you. 60. Staying. Thank you. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music start off with Niacinamide doing Through Eternal Blue. Sam Bennett out of Tokyo, originally from Birmingham, Alabama, but he's been there 25 years. Route 66, part of his cover. He thinks if you cover a song, you should make it your version. I like that idea. Joe Berardi, he was on last episode, but this is him with Stuart Liebig doing a live gig, a tune called Freedom Hurts. Andrei Gurinov with his reflecting on his homeland, and every tune is like a portion of the last 100 years of history. This one's 1977 to 1990. And then Alex Paxton with Mouth Song, Take One, or like Pedro, we say Mouth. And then finally, Parts Impossible to Find. And a collab here. Niacinamide with Johnny Bingo. Enlighten us to Johnny Bingo.
So we were kind of just talking about the field recordings. And so my brother, who is like very, he's very interested in, interested is a strong word, in what Niacinamide was doing and sort of just kind of, and fascinated with it. So he started this thing called Johnny Bingo while he was on vacation, which was him recording field recordings and then sending me those sounds.
So he leaves guitar.
Yeah. So he it's funny. He just 2 weeks ago picked it back up, and I was like so excited that he finally picked it back up.
Wow.
He has a beautiful 2001 Gibson SG.
But in the meantime, he was doing field recording. You know who did that? I don't know if you remember Cabaret Voltaire, 70s band from England.
Yeah.
That was really, there's an album called Mix Up or something like that. It's so good, their first album. But they were three-piece, and one guy went to the BBC, Mr. Watson, to, do field records.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story, and there's a whole subgenre of the noise scene that does it, and I'm always fascinated with it.
Last month I had Sabako from Tokyo. She's been doing it for 25 years.
Oh, yeah, great. It's just amazing stuff.
Yeah, it shows you that everything's got melody, rhythm, and harmony.
Yeah, and the longer cuts that she does, too, it's like the rhythms go in and out, and that I find just really
interesting. Oh, you're aware of her music. Okay,
yeah.
I've been playing it a lot.
To you.
Oh, really? Okay. Because
yeah.
She spent some time in New York City going to school, and I think she made connects with some of I don't know, ambient noise. Isn't that funny? There's ambient noise, but they're kind of part of the same scene.
Yeah.
You know, music is music. We're going to get free of all that fucking genre gulag shit. I'm hoping. Johnny Bingo makes a collab with Niacinamide, right? That's what this Parts Impossible to Find.
Right.
So who went first?
So that one, it was basically, I always try to give him like, I'll call it an assignment, where it was basically, I told him, like, let's meet up in the city for lunch and just kind of you record whatever you want on the way. So he just did, like, these 15-minute bits there and then kind of and sent it to me. And we kind of mixed it when I got back. So I guess he kind of started it, and then I just messed with it. And I kind of sent it back to him, and he gets a kick out of it, and his kids get a kick out of it.
You know, improvised music, I'm always curious about that because it's almost a power play, like, right, who's going to go first?
Right.
Who's going to pull their pants down? You know, and because what I learned from Nels Klein, he says the most important thing about improv is listening.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's interesting because then I'm here. It's like I'm hearing what he's thinking is interesting, or what he's, even if he's not, it's what he's hearing at the moment. And then he kind of sends that to me. And then I gotta figure out, okay, why did he send it? You know, be sort of meta about it, and then
sure,
and then do something with it.
To me, that's the heart of art. Look, we're at the end of the hour two, June 5, 2023. This is my Peter Show special guest, Tom Mikowski. I hope to have our feet. June 5, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
Enough. Yeah! Thank you.
off for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with stuff that happened way before the stuff you've been just listening to. It's when we first were spieling, right? So, Center Zero. Tom's a band with his brother, Young On, Long Island scene. What you make of it? Andre Vita from Berlin after that posta. Pasco Pizza is the name of the tune. The Brodges. Yap Blanc, Damon Smith, stand-up bass man, and drummer man Rock Kalam Bob Moses. Percussion, too, I should say. Center Zero again. October's Cold Tune. I bet you it was a cold tune. Or was a cold day to write a tune. Okay. I've been on the East Coast in winter. Whoa. Gotta wear socks. Okay. So, we already really kind of heard the story of that. I'm curious about how you record. Nice. Do you use a pewter?
Yeah. There's a program called Reaper. That's sort of just a free.
Sure. I got it.
Open software one. And I basically just use that, and then I'm able to kind of connect it to amps or whatever I'm using to do it, and then just kind of mess with it for however long I think it takes to get the song or quote unquote song to where it is.
So you're not really using mics; you're using direct.
Yeah, direct. I'll use the mic on sort of like my phone or through the computer's speakers if I want to try to mess with different sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just trying to get different levels and things to pretend like I know what I'm doing.
You don't make demos, right? You just go for it.
So when I first started, I was like making tapes, like cassettes, and just dropping them at record stores just for fun out in California. And then like if I traveled like overseas, I'd drop some. But now it's mostly just on kind of Bandcamp. But when I moved, I found my tape recorder again, like the whole setup I had, so which I got at like Goodwill for $5. So I kind of want to start making tapes again because it was kind of a fun thing.
But that's the end result. I'm talking about kind of more in the composition phase.
Yes and no. Like I'll definitely do something and then I'll sit on it and come back to it in 2 days and just kind of listen to it again. So in that case, I guess it's a demo, and then I just mess with it a little more until I'm kind of happy with it, and then I put it up.
And what about gigs? Does Nia CMI do gigs?
I mean, I'd love to if I could figure out kind of how to do it live without just kind of playing it. But I guess I could like build a song live, and that might be interesting. My Lindsay always jokes because there's like a farmer's market out here where I live.
Yeah.
And like there'll be like, you know, people doing whatever covers, and she's like, oh, you should definitely bring Nia CMI here.
Right. And you know, one thing about touring electronically, like everything fits in a suitcase or something, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because I just saw Brian Eno is doing on the tour, and I'm like how does he get his setup to do like live? And I know he's doing more stuff, but I'd love to figure out how to kind of do something live, I guess.
And so this project's never done a gig in front of people.
No, just sort of if my wife's here or my brother will watch me kind of make a song.
Okay, so it's like the old version of Steely Dan. Well, I guess they toured at first, but then they didn't tour for like 10 years.
Yeah, I'll just tell everyone I'm a studio band.
Yeah, right. It's just, if it's coming out the fucking speakers, they'll know I got there, right?
That's true. Yeah, I'll be like a Vegas DJ.
Or Frank Morgan in The Wizard of Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He was the motherfucker behind the curtain.
I guess if I like get some like I could put my laptop up and like I don't know move my hands and stuff, and people will think I'm doing it live.
Remember there was that band Front 242?
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I think they were Belgian cats, and it was really one guy. And he had some young guys on stage, like, miming it while he was doing all the music at the mixing desk.
Oh, my God, maybe. I'm missing an audience here.
Talk about your little puppet master. Right? Trippy. Okay, this last music you gave me, this is the stuff with Dowdy. So this is kind of a... when you first come to SoCal and like interim as you're developing, right? Right. Okay. Did Dowdy do any gigs?
No, I was working out in Thousand Oaks and I lived in LA. So like every Wednesday I just crashed my buddy's place and that's how Daddy started.
You know,
we just play every Wednesday.
I got to tell you, Thousand Oaks, right? Captain Beefheart, the Trout Mask replica. There's a pad out there that it was all created and practiced in. Or is it Sherman Oaks?
Yeah, we were sort of channeling that, I guess.
Yeah, because it's kind of like that Littleton thing in Long Island. It was a planned community.
Yeah, it's everyone who ever asked me about the Thousand Oaks, I was like, I don't know, there's a target there.
Let's listen.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro, show last music for this edition. Niacinamide with Dowdy doing Tell You No Lies. Yeah, isn't that one of the most famous paradoxes, right? Everything's a lie.
Right.
For that, right? Okay, Ratchet Orchestra out of Quebec with Eve live. All Lady Tokyo Band from early 80s. Mitsutama Shobadan translates to Polka Dot Fire Brigade. Happy End. And then finally, Niacinamide with Dowdy doing Of Birds and Bears. So where in the timeline with these collabs? Were like right when you got with them?
That was sort of the transition from sort of Dowdy into Niacinamide when I was kind of just doing my own thing then and just kind of, I don't know, moving it way into the noise realm. Because I just kind of came across noise, and I was like, this is really interesting to me. And, like, I grew up with, like, loving Sonic Youth, and I was like, here's kind of an aspect to kind of bring that back.
What about stuff like Throbbing Gristle and, well, you said you knew about Cabaret Voltaire, so you probably know about Throbbing Gristle.
Yeah, I mean, sort of the weirder, the better for me, I think. And it's I'm always interested in sort of, like, what people love and kind of find with music, and then I think that, like I just said, with Sonic Youth, it was just like, when I remember first time hearing them, I was just like, what is this? This is amazing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan too. To me, the whole movement wasn't about the sound. That was up to each cat who wanted to get on board.
Right.
You know, and that, the people, that's too much weight for some people's minds to take.
Yeah, like, I mean, with Niacinamide, I always, like, anytime I, like, anyone talks to me about it, I'm always like, you could just start a noise band at your desk, like, so just do it. Like, it's a good outlet. It's good for your mental health.
Yeah. And speaking of which, where are you right now? What's going on? You got an album coming up or what?
So I started this sort of net label called Arithnia, which is a play on Niacinamide, but it's, I'm trying to, like, give back. I don't know if that's the right term here, but doing free sort of releases for other people. So
I totally know what you mean. That's the big fucking foundation of why I do the Watt from Pedro show. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, like, I remember when I started with Nia, I just, like, no one, I mean, like I said, like, Graham from Lesson One and this guy Paul who had Al Ripper, they were, like, very sort of encouraging and, like, but that wasn't the case with everybody, and I just felt like I want more people to do this, so why not I just do it myself? So I've been putting out stuff, like Niacinamide stuff on there mostly. And then, like I said, I want to try to get back into doing tapes again. But
so do you have, like, a roster? Tell me about some of your label's artists that are interesting. I'd like to check it out.
Yeah, I hate Instagram, but, like, that's how the scene kind of connects. And then I just kind of put up, like, open calls. And so there's this one guy in the Midwest. He does Visceral Neural Frequencies, and he sends stuff. The Owl, like I said. And then there's just, like, people from all over the world. Like, I had, like, Tuple Twin, there's a band called Fibrodysplasia, Ossificans, Progressiva, and Latin Quilt, and, like, Fence Post, your buddy,
That's right. So what's a URL? You say an Instant Ham? That's where you can find the connect?
I only do Bandcamp, really, as far as Arithnia. And then everything's on Instagram, which I'm trying to keep down.
Can you spell it? So maybe listeners who want to check it out can go there.
Yeah, for sure. It's Arithnia, Arithnia records.bandcamp.com, and that's sort of like where you can find everything.
Yeah, great. And then from there, the Instant Ham. Yeah, I know. You know, I thought when the internet came, everybody's going to have their own website. It'd be like, we got our own, everybody's got their own fanzine.
Yeah, it's funny. I was going to my parents' in the attic, and I found sort of early demos of Center of Zero, and it's got like a GeoCities site on. I remember thinking that was the greatest.
GeoCities! Yeah, I remember that. An Angel something, whatever.
Yeah, Angel Wire.
Some shit. Yeah. They had their own kind of look to an aesthetic or lack of aesthetic. Yeah. So, but on the Niacinamide angle, tracked, whatever, do you have an album coming?
I'm working on one that I'm going to put out through Arithnia, so I'm hoping that's going to come out. I just got to find the time, but definitely
no
summer,
rush.
I'll have like one or two.
I ask because I'm putting out the invite. When you get it done, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Oh, my God, I'd love to.
Ah, great, Tom. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keep on keeping on it and help all them brothers and sisters who want to make wild, crazy-ass music, too. Thank God. You guys are fucking kicking like Cato. People, it's been the June 5, 2023 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.